Okay, if I get too loud, it's Brother Will's fault. Actually, it'd be Sister Diane's fault because she said I had to wear this thing today. Glad to see everybody here this morning. Sister Debbie, she just sung a song called Jesus. There's something about that name. How many of you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Don't be bashful now. Hands up. Okay. Just about everybody here professes to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And it is my heart's prayer that everybody knows for sure where they're going. Folks, there's only two places you're going to spend eternity, either in heaven or in hell. My message this morning is taken from the book of Ezekiel, the 13th chapter, and I'm going to have my wife read to me today, or for me today, because I've been fighting a sore throat all week, and it'll just help me get through the day. But before she reads in the 13th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, turn to the book of Matthew, if you would please, 26th chapter. And so when you get there, let me know. Are you there? Verse 6, I believe it is. Would you read very loud for me, please? Are you in Matthew 24:6? Oh, I'm sorry.
The 24:6?
I think it is.
And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet.
Folks, how many of you pay attention to current events? I do. Folks, there ain't nothing wrong and keeping up with current events. You need to understand, if you don't do that, you need to understand this. This world is getting more evil every day. And folks, as sure as I'm standing before you this morning, Jesus Christ's return is imminent. I don't know of anything in the scriptures that has to be fulfilled before Jesus Christ can return.
That's right.
As far as my understanding is, everything from Genesis to end of the book of Revelation has been fulfilled, and he could come this very moment.
Yes.
Folks, I think God gave us some signs that we should pay attention to. My text this morning is from the book of Ezekiel. And before Sister Debbie reads for me in there, it's the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 5, I believe. Before she reads, I want you to understand something. The Old Testament was given to us as an example, or example.
Yes.
And when we read in the Old Testament, those things we can apply to our day and time now. If you don't know the Word of God, you're like the ostrich that when the lion is about to jump on him and devour him, you stick your head in the sand. We need to open our eyes and our ears this morning to the Word of God. Because I believe we're living in the end times. If you go in, I don't do it right now, but if you were to go in the fellowship hall and look at the chart that our pastor has hung on the wall, we're in the very ending of the church age. Folks, and after that closes or comes to an end, we need to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. I don't believe I'm going through the tribulation. I believe Christ is coming prior to that. I believe in a pre-tribulation tribulation rapture. And folks, my dad used to say, I've heard him say this 1,000 times, I'm prayed up, paid up, and ready to go up. And that's the way that we ought to be today. We shouldn't have any loose ends hanging around that we have to take care of before the rapture. Now, I don't think God's going to give us, you know, a time out where we can do that. When he sends his son Jesus Christ to come to get his people, we need to be ready. And the only way you can be ready is to know of a certainty that you know him as your personal Savior. Folks, there is an example given here in the 13th chapter of the book of Exodus, verses 1 through 5. What did I say? Well, I love the book of Exodus. That's probably why I said it. But I'm in Ezekiel. We're around the city of Jerusalem. They had built a wall, but there was gaps in the wall. The purpose of the wall was for protection of the city. Listen, folks, the wall of our country is broken down. And as in the Old Testament, in the book of Ezekiel, God was looking for an individual to stand in the gap. We need people today to stand up for the right and truth of the Word of God. But we're letting the world do a number on us. This country is not the country that I grew up in. It has gotten more evil over the course of 73 years, which that's how long I've been on the face of the earth. If my mom and dad or my grandfather or grandmother could see the way the United States is today, they would roll over in their grave and pull what hair they've got out. Listen, folks, our nation is in trouble. Read Ezekiel 13, 1 through 5, please.
Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord.
Now, folks, I understand. And the Word of God here in this chapter is talking about the nation of Israel. But I want you to, if you would, place in there where it talks about Israel, the United States of America. And you can see us making the same mistakes again. In the 13th chapter, if you read back in the 11th and 12th chapter, you'll find where Israel left the living God. This used to be a godly nation. Folks, it's not anymore. It is a nation that wants to cultivate sin in their life. Folks, we need to understand. We're living in the last days. I want you, Debbie, turn over to, I think it's Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Read that, please.
The word of the Lord also came unto me, saying, Son of man, thou dwellest...
Stop. The word of the Lord came unto me and said, Son of man, prophesy. That word prophesy, it's a big word that means preach. The prophet Ezekiel was to go before the nation of Israel and preach and proclaim the message that would bring them back to a living God. Folks, that's what our pastor does. That is my job today when he allows me, talking about the pastor, to preach in his absence. Folks, listen, we need to come back to a living God. What one thing that is wrong with this nation today is preachers that you see on TV, preachers around this church that proclaims something else other than Jesus Christ. Somebody, I think it was Jose. What TV preacher did you make reference to? Joel Osteen. If you want to call him a preacher, that's so be it. But that's really using the term loosely. He preaches more about himself and a feel-good religion. Brother, the word, it comes to us as a two-edged sword. It divides. Not only does it cut the heart to asunder, but it divides families. Folks, but we ought to stand on the word of God. Don't lose your place in Ezekiel 12. I'm not done with that yet. Folks, listen. This nation, now, if you exercise corporal punishment at home, you better be careful, because you're liable to wind up in jail for it. Listen, when I was growing up, I got more whippings than my brothers and sisters combined. Because a lot of it, folks, I'll just be honest, they blamed it on me. But so be it. I still survived. And I'm today a better person because of those whippings that I got. It has taught me respect. It has taught me courtesy. When I was growing up, if I met Sister Diane, well, right there I got a spanking. Because I used her first name. I can't pronounce her last name. But I had better learn. Same with Jose. If I called, hey, Jose, I got a spanking. I didn't refer to an adult by their first name. If I couldn't pronounce their last name, it was yes, sir, no, ma'am. There was an old man. I don't know why I'm going to say this, but it just comes to mind. In one of the churches that my dad pastored, I was just a little bit bigger than probably what Stella is. And he always carried either a cough drop or chewing gum in his pocket. And he would give me every Sunday a cough drop or a piece of chewing gum. And my dad got on me. He said, "Larry, don't you be asking for that." I said, "Okay, Dad." So the next Sunday rolled around and he came in the church and I walked up to him and I called his name. I don't even remember it now, but I called his name. And I said, "Sir, I can't ask you for a piece of, or a cough drop or a piece of chewing gum, but if you want to give me one, it's okay." I was trying to circumvent the spanking. It worked for a while anyway. But folks, listen, we try to circumvent the Word of God. There's preachers today, Joel Osteen and others just like him, that want you to believe that it's a feel-good religion. I don't know about you, but sometimes when my pastor preaches, I don't feel so good.
That's right.
Because he walks all over my toes. Listen, this country has changed, and it's not for the better. We're going downhill every day. There's no respect of persons today. Let me take a look at my outline. I think there was a scripture I'm supposed to read there. Hang on. Preachers today, they're turning away from the Word of God. Ezekiel 12, 1 and 2. Read that again, please. Talks about a rebellious house there. And I understand it's talking about the nation of Israel as a whole. But sometimes the house of God becomes rebellious. We rebel against God. We forget what the living God through his son Jesus Christ has done for us. And brother, listen, we need to get back to basics. I think our pastor is preaching a series on that. We need to get back to where we met Jesus as our personal Savior.
Yes.
We need to get back where we remember what Jesus has done for you and I. And brother, there is no way under God's green earth or blue sky, whatever term you, can you ever repay Jesus for what he's done for you?
Amen.
And actually, I think it's a sin to even try. Because Christ doesn't, he doesn't request that. I want you to notice another passage of Scripture. If you would. Judges 21:25. Folks, this is the way our nation is right now. And this is the way that our churches are getting right now. 12:25, please.
In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes.
Listen, there's churches, and I'm even including missionary Baptist churches that are out there. They have no king over the house, and that's Jesus Christ. They've taken it upon themselves to be in charge. Listen, the day that an individual takes the place of Jesus Christ in this house, I'm going to be looking for another church. If I can't fix what's wrong here, I'm going to go somewhere else and look for the truth. Because that's not the way the house of God ought to be. What I'm trying to get you to understand, we're getting farther and farther away from the truth.
That's right.
Every day, if we're not careful, it can happen here.
Right.
We're getting farther away from thus saith the Lord.
Yep.
Brother, we have eyes that are open. We have ears to hear.
Yes.
We need to pay attention to the message that God is giving you today. We need to pay attention to the messages that our pastor has preached in this house. This house ought to be the house of a living God. I'll guarantee you, folks. Yeah. See, I can say this because you guys can't fire me. If I was the pastor of this church, Brother Roger, first thing I'd tell this group is forget about those people that don't care about coming to the house of God. Turn them over to Jesus. If he can't, won't change them, they aren't going to be changed. We get stuck, Brother Jeff, living in the past. Oh, I remember when we used to run 140. But we ain't doing that now. You know why? Because people have left the house of God. People don't care anymore. This country is worse off today than it ever was. I will give you, you know, if the military didn't do anything else for me in my life, they taught me to respect other people. Where's the respect today? There ain't none. It's gone. There's not even no respect for the Lord's house. It's gone. Children don't respect their parents. It's gone. But you know why that is? Or at least one thing. Drive by any high school, middle school, or junior high. Look how they're dressed. Their parents allow that. When I was in school, Brother Jose, if I wore something like that to school, my dad would have choked me. These jeans, you know, that have holes in them, I couldn't even wear them. My mom bought those iron-on patches and ironed them up. And until I wore that patch out, I had to wear them. But there's no respect for nothing today. You go out on the highway, there's no respect. People cut you off, stop in front of you. I don't know why in the state of Nevada, when a person is driving and makes a right-hand turn, they have to stop before they make it. They do that just to aggravate me. And I'm easily aggravated when I'm behind the wheel, am I not? I am. Listen. There's time. It's not right. But I'll hang out the window and yell at them.
And that's not right.
But there are just certain people the DMV shouldn't give driver's license to. That's all I can say. You riding your motorcycle, you ever get cut off? That's an idiot. Right, brother? It's okay. See, me and you agree on something. You betcha. Listen, folks. There's no God in this land anymore. And people are doing what they see fit or what they see right in their own eyes. A lot of churches are doing that. We need to get back to serving a living God. We need to understand that He's not in the grave, but He is alive today. And one of these days, Sister Diane, He's coming to bring judgment. We've been sold a bill of goods by this offbeat Christianity stuff that's going around, that He's coming back a happy camper. That's not what the Bible says. He's coming back to set things right. Not only in His church, but in His people that make up the church and make up the family of God. I tell you, I got some relatives. I hate to be in their shoes when the Lord returns. You ask them, are you a child of God? They'll be the first to raise their hand. But the Bible says, by their fruits you shall know them. Yes. I better move on. If they get on the wife's relatives, I'll really be in trouble. Turn to Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 38.
But on that day and hour, knowing no man, know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark.
Listen, folks, if that doesn't describe society today, what does? As it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. You know, we've got so pathetic. You get off of the airport or off of the plane at the airport at, what did they name that now? McCarran, Henry Reed, Democrat. That's one of the problems. You get off of the airport there, and you don't even have to exit the building. You can get a marriage license. Over on the other plate, you can get a divorce. Folks, we need to be careful. We're going down a slippery slope. One of these days, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come and you're going to give an account. Listen, I don't know about you, and Satan doesn't want you to listen this morning. He wants you to bury your head in the sand and say everything is okay. Listen, if you don't have, and it doesn't matter what you tell me, because Jesus knows the truth. Everybody here this morning ought to have a heartfelt desire to be in the house of God. And if you're not, there's something wrong. I wasn't going to get on this, but I'm going to anyway. I love my wife. I know what I can do and what I couldn't do or can't do. I know what she will tolerate, and I know what she won't tolerate. Right, Brother Roger? Go on. Go on, man. Be brave, man. Listen. Common respect one to another. Marriages today are lacking that. Common respect for the house of God. They're lacking that. I've got people living in my house that's their problem. You can go tell them I said so. I don't care. I'm a big boy. Listen, we need to learn to respect the house of God. We need to learn to respect each other. We need to get our head out of the sand. I've got to hurry on here. I'm almost out of time. And listen. And open our eyes and open our ears to what's going on around us. Listen, Patterson theology, take it for what it's worth. Some of you people think, let me rephrase that. Some of the members of this church think they're going to live forever on this earth. Listen, I'm going home to be with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't want no more part of this earth. My knees hurt. My sinuses are bad. I've got other problems that I can't mention in mixed company. But when I go home, Brother Jerry, all of that's going to be taken care of. I can't tell you what a glorified body's going to look like, but I can tell you it's going to be likened unto His. Praise the Lord for that. Now, folks, I asked the question earlier. How many of you pay attention to current events? Not many of you wanted to raise your hand. But I'll tell you, we need to be watchful. Because as sure as I'm standing here today, the return of Jesus Christ is imminent. It could happen at any time. Brother, listen. Are you ready for that? Are you ready to stand in the gap today? The walls are broken down. There's gaps in them. But God is calling people to stand in the gap. And I want you to understand something. I don't believe that just means men. I mean, that could mean a godly woman also. To take a stand. The book of Ephesians says, after you've done all to stand, stand therefore. Well, I'm praying about it. Well, you'll pray till Jesus comes. Brother Jeff, I've found if you'll surrender, God will equip you for whatever it is.
Yes. Amen.
Look at our Sunday school teacher this morning. He told the pastor, I've got a desire to teach. And Brother Jim came to me and he said, we need to fix it where Brother Will can teach ever so often. I said, glory be.
Amen.
Glory be. There's nothing better than on-the-job training.
Yes.
And he's doing a doggone good job of it.
Yes.
Listen, folks. Jesus is coming. I want to give you some facts. Usually, because I'm an individual of current events. Now, not only have we departed from Thus Saith the Lord as a nation, you know, there's more people that hate us in the world than that love us as a nation. Brother, listen, there's people out there that would cut your throat in a heartbeat. There's people out there that would shoot you and not think twice about it. For the simple reason, you are a United States of American citizen. I want you to, the current events. There's three superpowers in this world. Who are they, Roger? Three superpowers. Us, Russia, and China. Do you know Russia and China hate us?
Absolutely.
Do you know that in the coming weeks, I don't know, how do you pronounce a guy's name in China that's it?
We don't know.
G? President G and President Putin are meeting together. I want you to understand something. It would be very easy for them to make an alliance one with another. It would be very easy. They both, Putin and G, or whatever his name is, hate the United States. They could care less if they killed 5 million people here. That'd be just less people that they would have to control. You know, they could make a pact. And they could, listen, this is plausible. They both could attack us at the same time.
Yes.
And we would lose.
That's right.
We would lose. You know, people say, well, we ought to get out of Ukraine. No, that's not the answer. Not now. We're too far committed to get out. That would embolden Putin to do other things than would have to take a stand. There would be wars and rumors of wars. It's just a matter of time where China invades Taiwan. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. And I can even give you a time frame. It will be before the elections in 2016. 2024, I'm sorry, I was digressing. That's because I'm old. 2024. It's going to happen before we change presidents and get a Ronald Reagan in there. Biden is weak. Well, that's a whole different sermon. But do you understand that if Russia launches a missile with a nuclear warhead, if China launches a mission or missile with a nuclear, from the time they push the button, 30 minutes, and you've got a mushroom cloud over Las Vegas.
That's right.
30 minutes! It'll take the Secret Service 30 minutes just to wake up Biden. Listen, folks, we're living in dangerous times. I'm thankful that I know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I'm concerned about a lot of my relatives. But folks, they may stand before the living Christ and He may say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. This is perilous times. The what I'm telling you this morning is probable. I'm not saying it's a fact, but it could happen. Consider the possibilities. The next time I see you, it may be in a cloud in the sky. We're living in dangerous times. So we need to get our heart right with God. We need to start praying for our country seriously. We need to pray for our leaders that they would get their head out of the sand. You gotta be careful with that one. That they get their head out of the sand and get back to Jesus Christ. I want to give you some facts. It's easy to check out, just go on the internet. China. They have 121 warships of various kinds. They have 200 to 350 nukes. Nuclear tilt missiles, nuclear tilt bombs. 250 to 350. Russia. They have 290 warships of various kinds. This is scary. They have 5,977 nuclear warheads. That's China and Russia. How do we stack up? How do we stack up? The USA. If you, You can add these together real quick if you want to. The USA, we have a total of 480 warships. You put the other two countries together, they've got well over 600. Folks, that's not a good thing. Nuclear warheads, the USA, they have 3,750 nuclear warheads. Now, what is scary? In 2003, our nuclear stockpile has decreased by 6,250. Yeah, Putin, he says he's pulling out of the START treaty. What? Actually, folks, be all truth known, he's never been in it. Just by word of mouth, that's all. But he's pulling out where they can increase their capabilities. Since we've been in the START treaty, we've decreased. I tell you, brethren, our leaders need to take notice. Need to take notice. And by the way, before you come up to me after church and you say, well, Brother Pat, the United States has to be around in the end time, show me that in the Word of God. I can show you where it's not mentioned. Listen, folks, we're living in perilous times. The only thing that is going to save your bacon, excuse the term, is to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Listen, folks, you shall hear rumors of wars. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. We're living in perilous times. Our time is running out. I'll share some more Patterson theology. Take it for what it's worth. But listen to what I preached to you this morning. When's the election? 2024. Before 2024, I think it's all possible, quite likely, that the United States is attacked. Because they know right now they're dealing with weakness. My hope lies in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got three questions for you in closing. What's question one on the outline? Are you saved or lost? Listen, if I'm right, once you see that mushroom cloud, it's too late. You know, the blast from that will vaporize many people. It's not a pretty sight. So you need to ask yourself the question this morning, are you saved or lost? Don't try to shuck and jive, Brother Patterson. I've been around too long. You know, you can come up and tell me something, and I can pretty much look in your eyes. George Bush said, the windows of your soul. You can take that or leave it. But I can pretty much look in your eyes and tell me if you're telling me the truth or lying. My kids, they could never figure that out when I was raising them. When they wouldn't look me in the face, that was a good sign they were lying. You know? Especially with James. Point two. Pardon? Strength or weakness. Are you weak in the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen, you can come to this church every Sunday and be weak. But are you coming here to be strengthened in the Spirit? Well, I don't like church. Get over it and get strong. Jeez. Pay attention to what God is trying to show you today. We're living in perilous times. Brother Will and Sister Amy, or not Amy, Monica. Amy fit in the center there. They may never see her grow up. Just truth. The next time they see her, may be in heaven. That's if she knows Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. And that's if mom and dad know Jesus as their personal Savior. Strength or weakness? Where do you stand today? After you've done all to stand therefore. The Word says stand up. There's a song, Stand Up for Jesus. Well, that's what we need to do. We need to stand in the hedge this morning. We need to stand in the gap. We need to proclaim Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Point three. Pardon?
In the gap or hiding.
Are you in the gap or are you hiding? Too many of us, I include myself in this, too many of us play hide and go seek with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if He's calling you to take a stand, then take a stand. If He's calling you to be strong, then be strong. Brother Jeff, have you heard me preach a lie this morning? Huh? No. I'm telling you the truth, folks. We're not guaranteed to make it home. I've often heard our pastor say, well, if something happens, let's all meet here and we'll make a defense here. Listen, you can't defend this building. There's too many places of ingress. It'd take 200 people to defend this place. If the time comes, you better say, Lord Jesus, take care of me. I mean, I've got two pistols and a shotgun, and three pistols and a shotgun. That ain't going to be enough to defend me. I better know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Now, I'm going to give it a good try. But I can tell you, there is no other force that can protect you like Jesus Christ can.
That's right.
The last, what have I got written down there lastly?
Luke 21:28.
Read it, please.
And when these things begin to come to pass.
When these things, stop right there, please. When these things start to come to pass, when you see the days of Noah, when you hear the rumors of wars, you know, the I want to say these closely. The countries around Ukraine. What do we call them? I'll think of it in a minute. But all of those countries, they're fearing what Russia will do if Ukraine falls. Listen, folks, we need to be fearful if Russia and China make a pact with one another. The end times are coming. Start that verse again, please.
And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh.
Amen. Listen, brother, as sure as I'm standing before you today, you better start paying attention. When the time comes, when the button is pushed, I'm going to look up, for my redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
Now, I've known preachers over the course of my life, they will stand and preach. Well, the world is never going to be destroyed by mankind. That may be so. But that's not to say that the United States could not be destroyed.
That's right.
We're not the world. I know oftentimes we think we are. But we need to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. Jesus is coming. What are you going to do? Oh, I'm just going to shrug this message off. I don't need to watch the news. I don't need to watch current events. Okay. Be like the ostrich that sticks its head in the sand. You know what? The lion, he gets victorious over the ostrich because he didn't see the lion coming. We need to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. We need to give our heart and our soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to learn, be strengthened to stand in the gap. Listen, what I'm telling you may not take place for another 20 years, but we need to stand in the gap of this church. We need to build the wall. If you read in the book of Ezekiel, in the 12th and 13th chapter, you're going to find the reason that the wall fell down is they used an inferior mortar between the bricks. Sounds like some of our churches today. Using inferior mortar. Brother, where do you stand? Will you stand in the gap today? Will you say, Lord, here I am, use me. I'm tired of trying to do this on my own. You use me. You put my life back together. You put my home back together. You put my marriage back together. I've learned one. We've been married 51 years. That's a long time. That's a long time. I've learned one thing. It takes two to fight, and it takes two to make a go of it. Listen, where do you stand today? That's all I'm asking. When is the last time you've taken your spouse by the hand and went to the altar and prayed together? Time is short. Time is short. I'm telling you, I can see the end coming as sure as I can see my nose on the front of my face. It's coming. I've warned you. And what are you going to do with the Word of God? Sister Diane, let's have a song, please. The decision is up to you. Will you come today? You say, Lord, equip me where I can stand in the gap. Lord, I want to be faithful to you. I want to be faithful in all things. Will you do that today? It's up to you. While we stand. Come today. One more stanza, and we're going to close. When the time comes, can you truly say, I can look up and my redemption draweth nigh? Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I thank you for your time and attention this morning. Brother Jose, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?